Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Are your hands working today? We got hands. We can clap. My kids have informed me that I can't talk without my hands. So I want to make sure. I'm going to need to hear from you today. I want to do that. Answer me this question. I want to take a poll of the congregation. How many of you still have your Christmas decorations up right now? Still, okay, vast majority. How many of you have taken them down already? All right, overachievers in the room. And how many of you said, I'm just going to leave them up to get a head start on next year so we don't have to go through all that? Lexi's with me on that. This is the last day of 2023. Everybody tomorrow is going to write the wrong date down. And you're going to take you months to get, and about the time you get used to writing 2024, 2025 will be here. And we can jump in. A couple weeks ago, we talked about finishing the year strong. You remember that? Finishing the year strong and at peace. I made this statement. I had this thought preparing for that message, and it was this. The reason people have so many New Year's resolutions is because they end the year with so many regrets. And this is my heart for you going forward in 2024. I don't want you to have any regrets about 2023. So I thought I would take the entire day today and just celebrate with you. Look back on 2023 at all the amazing things that God did through you, through our church. Y'all okay if we do that? Y'all okay if we celebrate? Because I want you to see firsthand how well you have stewarded the ministry that God has entrusted us to here in our community. And as I started to look back and write down all the things that God was putting on my heart that he wanted me to celebrate with you guys, I was reminded of this phrase, and it was this: gratitude isn't gratitude until it's spoken. And I just became so overwhelmed with gratefulness and appreciation. All these things that I just started to think, man, golly, and then there was that, and then there was that, and it just kept going. And I could think of no better way to speak the gratitude that I have for what God has done in our church than to celebrate with you today. And I hope that's okay. Listen, if this is your church, I want today to be a shot in the arm, an encouragement, look back, guess what God has done, because I don't know that anybody would take the time to stop and look back and say, golly, look what y'all did. If you're visiting today with family and friends, here's my hope for you, that you would become just as much in love with this place as the people that invited you to come. Because there are some people here in the room that invited you here today that absolutely love this place. And I'm hoping what we share today gives you the same heart that we have, not just for this house, but for our community. And if you're new here today, or maybe you've just been visiting for a couple weeks and you're trying to figure out, man, is this the church I'm supposed to be a part of? Is this the church that God wants me to be at? My prayer is that you would see an aspect of this place that many people don't get a chance to see until they're here. And I hope that you find the answer to that very quickly. I know that there are some great churches in our area. How many of you would agree with that? Now, I happen to think this is the greatest. I may be a little biased, but that's okay. I know this, there are a lot of great churches in our area, and the fact that you would choose to worship with us really does honor us. But here's the risk that I take when I go to celebrate some of the things that has happened. There's a risk. We can compare ourselves to ourselves. And that's a challenge, because then we get lazy, right? As long as we've done a little bit more than we did last year, we can compare ourselves to ourselves, we're going to get lazy. We can compare ourselves to others. I mean, that's not going to work out good. That's not going to work out good at all. We'd end up prideful or competitive. That's not the goal of today. I'm not trying to compare our church to ourselves. I'm not trying to compare our church to anybody else's church. I think the proper way to celebrate would be to compare ourselves to Jesus. And I think Scripture is very, very clear on this. He's our standard. Our baseline is Jesus. How many of you would agree with that. We have no right to say how good or how growing our church is if we don't have a standard to compare it to. So that's what I want to do today. I want to show you some passages in Scripture, share some things that we've done, and compare ourselves to what a healthy church should look like. Turn with me, if you can, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. We're going to dig in just a little bit. I want to show you this passage. It says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly the love of God is perfected." Look at this next sentence. "By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to do what? Walk in the same way in which he walked." What an interesting phrase. If we're going to compare ourselves to anything, let's compare ourselves to Jesus. And did we walk in the same way in which he walked? Matter of fact, that's the question for today that I hope to answer with us. In 2023, as a church, did we walk in the same way that Jesus walked? Because I think if we can find the answer to that, we'll know exactly what and how we need to celebrate. And spoiler alert, we've got some reason to celebrate today. There's a passage in John chapter 6, right in the middle of Jesus' earthly ministry here. It's the disciple John. He's writing an account of Jesus' ministry. He's public at this point, right? He's doing all these miracles. People are following. He's developing his disciples. He's teaching them how to do ministry. It's a great place for us to see what the kind of ministry Jesus was creating actually shaped up to be. You ready? Here's what happens. The chapter starts with him feeding the 5,000. Later in the chapter, he walks on water. Is there anybody in here that's walked on water? Yet today, we got to be careful. The stakes are pretty high. Look at John chapter 6, verse 28. The disciples say this to him. They said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God?" Imagine, put yourself in their shoes. They're watching Jesus do all of these things. God has sent him to do ministry. And what are the kind of things that the disciples are seeing Jesus do? Feeding the 5,000. How many know that's a tall order, right? A couple fish and some loaves of bread, you're gonna feed 5,000 people. How big's your faith? And if that wasn't enough, he decides to go walk on water, right? So thinking, and he's saying, "You're gonna do greater things than this." How many of you imagine what they're thinking in this moment where the disciples are face to face with the fact that Jesus has been doing these incredible things? Jesus, how are we gonna do what you've called us to do? How are we going to do it the way that you're doing it? And Jesus responds to them in a very simple way. And he says this. There's three verses that I believe paint a picture for what a healthy church is supposed to look like. It's as if he peels back the layers and gives us a picture and says, this is what you can focus on. This is what I've been focusing on. It's three verses. I'm going to pull out five things. Let's look at them. This passage, incidentally, is the passage that God spoke to me when I first came to lead this campus. It's very near and dear to my heart. John chapter 6, verse 37 through 39. Our entire message today is going to be based out of this passage. It says this, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up on the last day." And if we look in this passage, we're going to see five indications of a healthy church from these three verses. Let me break it down for you and show you what they are. Here's the first one. All that the Father gives me will come. Here's the second. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. The third says, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The fourth one, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. And the last one, the fifth one, but raise it up on the last day. This is the standard that we've been working toward. The only measuring stick, if you will, that I think we should measure ourselves with against when we celebrate. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the first one here, and we're going to break it down in some language that we can understand here as a church. All that the Father gives me will come. We could say it this way. Every person that comes is sent by God. Every person that comes is sent by God. When I tell you I came across that and it took so much pressure off of me to think that I don't have to strive to work to try to build this crazy big church and all these things, that God's going to do it by bringing people here that are supposed to be. You're here because God brought you. And yes, we have a big church, but it's not because we've built it. It's strictly because of who God has sent. Y'all see that? All that God sends becomes, if we're focused on building anything, I want to be focused on building big people. God can worry about building this church as big as he wants it to be. All that the Father sends will come. Are y'all with me? Y'all following what he's saying here? And here's my revelation as I started thinking about all this. God really does love people more than I do. I love me some people. I really do. I love me. Some of my favorite times on Sunday morning is between 9:30 and 10, where I get to walk around and meet and love on as many of you as I possibly can. Those of you that haven't met me, I'll tell you why. It's because you don't show up until after 10 o'clock. If you were here between 9:30 and 10, I'd get to love on you, meet you, greet you, find out about your family and everything else. Like, that's one of my favorite times. But here was the stark revelation I had. God loves people and loves you more than I ever could. Now think about this, how crazy it is. He knows exactly what they need, where they need it, who they need it from, and how they need to get it. And here's what I realize. Every time a new face walks in this door, this is what comes into my heart. God can trust me with that person. That God loves them so much that he'd be willing to send them here to help them grow and to learn more about him. It's God, Psalm 68 tells us, that places the lonely inside of families. And you may think that kind of takes the urgency out of outreach and being in our community, but that's quite the opposite. If the shepherd left 99 who were in the flock to go find the one that wandered off, how many of you know we should do the same thing? We should absolutely do the same thing. I was thinking about 2023 and all the people that came walking in the door that God has entrusted us with, and I couldn't help but think about the time I met Brianna Davis at an event we were doing at the Boys and Girls Club. And I wasn't the first person from OSC that she met. Pastor Ryan, when we hired him to do kids ministry, hadn't even started. Wasn't even his first day yet. We'd kind of made the decision. He was leaving his job at Cintas and was on his way here. He pulls into town, stops off at the Boys and Girls Club, and just starts saying to himself, man, if I'm going to lead kids ministry here, we might want to be involved with some community organizations that are involved with kids. And Brianna Davis was there at the Boys and Girls Club. She was on staff working there. And they talked and they visited and agreed that they would let us come in and do an outreach once a month for the kids in the after-school program. And as the relationship began to develop and build, we started going. We were able to do the same thing we do on a Sunday morning in kids ministry. We were able to do that over there at the Boys and Girls Club. It wasn't long after that monthly service turned into an opportunity. We had, Brianna, you remember the Friendsgiving event that we did? A lot of fun. They honor the families that participate, and we were able to come and cater an event and serve them and love them. Many of you served in that event. There was 50 families that very night that they identified that we gave Thanksgiving dinners to for that Thanksgiving. Turkeys and fixins and all the things. I remember that. Well, here's how the story goes. Brianna gets promoted. She gains some influence, grows in her relationships. And I wish that I could say that I was surprised the first Sunday when she walks in the door here, but I really wasn't. I really wasn't, because I know this. People go where they're loved and appreciated. They go where they're loved and appreciated. And we had done so well stewarding our relationship, that community relationship, that Brianna knew and God knew exactly where she needed to be. Everybody that God sends will come. And I can't think of a Sunday that Brianna has missed since she's been here. Now, here's the cool thing about it. We did have monthly influence at the Boys and Girls Club because of that relationship and those services. But how many of you realize now we have daily influence at the Boys and Girls Club? Why is that? Because Brianna is just as much OSC as anybody else here. And I think that's amazing. I'll save the rest of her story for her to tell you about her small group involvement and all the ways she's connected. Time she pulled me at the end of it, said, Pastor John, God spoke just to me, and this is what happened. I am so blown away with your growth. All that the Father sends will come. How many of you know that's something that we can celebrate. We're measuring ourselves. Here's the second thing. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out, says to me this, everyone's welcome. Everyone is welcome. When you put both of those together, here's the revelation you have to latch onto. If the Father is the one who sins, then listen to me, we don't get to choose who we love and who we serve. If the Father is sending those that he knows that need a place like this, then none of us here get to choose which one of those he sends that we love and that we serve. Everyone is welcome. And I tell you this, of all of these, I am so proud of you at this. If I hear one thing over and over and over again from the people I meet that have visited or attend here regularly, it's this: you do an incredible job of loving every single person that walks in here. Every single, give yourself a round of applause. That's incredible. You have served every single person without discrimination or prejudice. It was Jesus who said this in Matthew 25. He says, as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And I got news for you if you're new here. This is not a country club for the spiritually rich. This is a hospital for the spiritually sick. And it is not run by a bunch of professionals. It is run by a bunch of people who are trying to get healthy themselves and are helping other people while they're in the process of doing it. And that starts with me. This is the kind of church that we're building. And I think when you show up on a Sunday morning, you should be surprised by the kind of people that you see here. Because I've heard from them when they show up, they're surprised to see you here because they knew you back in the day. They knew back when you were backing it up in the club and all those other things. Some of you got some groove in you when you worship, and you didn't learn that in church. They know, and I love this. I think that our church needs to look like our community. And I think when we look back at 2023, and when I look across the room today, I see that. There's not just rich. There's not just poor. There's not just old. There's not just young. There's not just black. There's not just white. You go out in the streets and it looks just like it does here. Look around. This is a room full of people that don't look like you, don't vote like you, don't watch the same shows you watch, their news feed on social media that you need to get off of completely looks different than everything else. And I love that. The gospel can transform a life when someone is loved by a group of people that can look past what they see at face value. And those of you that have been here in 2023 have truly done that. When I think of Brad and JC, who have no idea I'm about to talk about them, I'm not sure anybody will truly grasp the miracle that has taken place in your life. I really don't know that. You know you're loving somebody sincerely when there's nothing that they can offer you in return. And then you know that they're completely different when you look up one day and you can't imagine this place without them. And I mean that about you guys. I'm not sure when you knew that this was going to be your church home, but I'll tell you exactly when I knew. When you allowed us to come alongside of you in your relationship and help you take the steps to make it right. Y'all were living together and not married. And I'm sure you thought, well, now that the church knows, maybe we're not welcome here anymore. But you found the exact opposite, didn't you? And when you allowed us to come alongside of you, you stood before me that day. We stood before God in a small group of people, and you made your relationship right before God. And I knew this was your church. This was your church. And the crazy thing is, if we were to do that ceremony again today, we'd have to do it here in the sanctuary because of all the people that loved you now that want to be a part of that. Church, it can be very easy to exclude people based on their behavior, can it? When everyone is welcome, you don't start with behavior, though. Okay, well, if behavior isn't a prerequisite, why is that? Why is behavior not a prerequisite? Listen to me, because nobody behaves in a way contrary to what they believe. Oh, so you start with belief? No, that's between you and God. Well, Pastor Don, what do we do then as a church? If we can't start with somebody's behavior, if we can't really influence their belief, what can we do? We can work on helping them feel belonged, that they belong here. And listen, here's what happens. When you belong, then your heart is open for God to help you believe. And once you start believing, then you start behaving. Belong, belief, behave. And this is a room full of people that have learned to behave in a way that glorifies and honors God. Not because they believed that when they got here, but because they couldn't help but feel belonged because of what you did for them when you started this place. Are you with me? There's not a Christian in here that has behaved your way into a relationship with God. He took the first step. He sent Jesus so you could belong, not so you could behave. And if we're doing this the way Jesus would have us doing it, it would say this: everyone is welcome. How many of you know that's a reason to celebrate in this place? He says, it's not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And I say it this way: his way is better than ours. If Jesus himself walked in a way that didn't seek to accomplish his own will, neither can we. Now, I know this is true for most in here. Oftentimes, the sin in our lives will cause us to want to control or to self-protect in a way that looks like this. It has to be my way or the highway. How many of you have gotten to that point? Okay, if you haven't, just wait. Your Christian maturity will grow to the fact that there will be a point where that big major sin is no longer there, and all those big things you've kind of worked through and grown and matured, but you'll come to this step that's really hard, and it's called the step of obedience, where God calls you to do something that you're not quite sure if you're ready to do yet, but you know you're not going to grow past that next act of obedience if you don't take it. And the mature Christians in the room said, amen. It happens. It's coming. I'm trying to help you see that. This last year, I watched this very thing unfold with somebody that you never would have expected. She's a very mature Christian, and her struggle wasn't necessarily with some sin, but rather with a step of obedience. And this was the step. God was asking her to go on a missions trip. The whole idea was unfamiliar and unknown. And here's what Andrea Powell said about her missions experience this last year. It was the first time she had been away from her 13-year-old daughter. Her words: never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would go on a missions trip. Going on a missions trip alone and leaving my family was a big deal. The unknown is a place I'm not fond of, but the unknown is where God does the greatest work in me. And the unknown is where he is patiently waiting for us to surrender. The unknown places God wanted to take me started years ago with a yes to something else. My yes led me to watching God literally give a group of tired women the strength to finish a house build. My yes led me to speak to a group of abused girls about a God who sees them and cares for them. My yes led me to new friendships that I didn't know I needed. And Andrea, you exemplified this year exactly what he said when he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And I am proud of you for taking that step of obedience. We're looking back this year on the things that God has done, and we're trying to compare ourselves. And are we comparing ourselves with ourselves or with other churches? Or are we comparing ourselves to Jesus and the way he structured ministry? Here's what we said: every person that comes is sent by God. Everyone is welcome. His way is better than ours. Here's the fourth thing in that passage. He said that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. I say it this way: use it. Don't lose it. Use it. Don't lose it. And this one is tremendously insightful when we bring it into context here with what Jesus is saying about his ministry walk. Follow me. All that the Father sends will come, but this is the will of the Father, that I not lose any of whom he's sent me. The emphasis of a healthy church should be on the back door, not the front door. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say that? The front door is making sure everything comes in and comes in and comes in, and who's here and who's here and who's here. How many can come? How many can come? No, the back door says who wasn't here that should have been here. Who wasn't here that should have been here. Nothing haunts me more than this right here on a Sunday morning. You're leaving church thinking, what are we going to eat for lunch? I'm leaving church thinking, where was so-and-so? Where was so-and-so? They were here. last week? Where were they this week? Where were they this week? And can I tell you, that's why I love that you sit in the same place every week. You think I'm playing? Those of you that show up early enough to hear from me that I meet and greet, when you change sides of the room, I know. And I have let you know every single time. How do we celebrate not losing someone? It's very easy in a church like this. People come in, there's new faces every single week. It's a large place. I mean, this is a big church. It can get easy to get lost in a church like this. How do I make sure nobody gets lost when they get here? How do I make sure nobody falls through the cracks? It's simply this. The best way not to lose something is to use it every day. Is to use it every day. The way we keep people from getting lost in this big church is to work real hard at helping them discover ways and places for them to participate. Literally discovering and using the gifts that God has given them. You do know discipleship is a journey. It's a spiritual journey, and those journeys consist of next steps. Everybody in here has a next step to take. And those of you that take those next steps not only stay found, but they help us build so that other people can continue to take their next steps. Some of you are grateful for somebody that has taken their next step because it's helped you continue to take yours. Brock and Chrissy, where are y'all sitting today? Y'all moved on me. In the balcony. Y'all supposed to be sitting down here. We just talked about this. It may surprise you to think about this for those of you that know Brock and Chrissy well. They've only been attending for less than a year. They started attending back in April 30th of 2023 with the rest of their family. It was following the passing of Chrissy's first husband and the father of their boys, Gavin and Lane. And God began to move in their lives and they began to regularly attend. But it was in August that you guys came and they first attended our intro to Next Steps. And we introduced them to a way that they could become discipled and grow in their relationship with Jesus and have the life that they've always wanted. Pastor Sean and I did this week. I want you guys to help me. We listed all the next steps that you guys have taken since you've been here in just a short few months. This is going to blow you guys away. Look at this. Number one, you guys became regular attenders. Number two, you became born again. Number three, you were water baptized. Number four, attended Intro to Next Steps. Number five, joined formally in membership. Number six, attended Growing in Prayer faithfully. Seven, not only joined a Freedom Small Group, but number eight, finished and completed the Freedom Conference. Nine, attended Intro to Serve. 10, joined the Serve team, serving in parking and at Kids Check-In. And 11, I love this, renewed their wedding vows, reestablishing their marriage on the new foundation that you now have with God. That's 11 steps in less than a year. I'm exhausted just talking about it. And their story is intertwined with yours because they don't take any of those steps in 2023 if you weren't here helping to make this place possible. That's reason to celebrate. Speaking of celebration, can I give you some statistics? We count things around here. And I tell people, we count people because people count. Every number I'm about to share with you is a story. It's a face. It's a family. It's something that used to be one way that is now somewhere completely different. This is what your church accomplished in 2023. The number of people like Brock and Chrissy that took next steps in their spiritual journey. You ready for this? 207. 207 people. The number of small group leaders who provided a place outside of a weekend service to help others grow and get connected. 63 leaders and co-leaders in 2023 helping to lead small groups. That made room for 299 of you to participate in one of those groups across those two or more semesters that we have. That's reason to celebrate. In 2022, Andrea, did you know that we only had 5 people from our campus go on a world missions trip? Only 5. But in 2023, that number was 29. And let me do the math for you. 480% increase in just 1 year our church getting out on the missions field. That's incredible. Every Monday night at Growing in Prayer, we've talked about it, we're averaging 85 people in attendance on a Monday night between 6 and 7 o'clock. Let me help you. That's one out of every 12 or 13 people that's here in on a Sunday morning. That's incredible. And here's what they're doing. They're learning to grow in their prayer life. We meet for an hour each and every week. And listen, the number is too high to count this, but I'll do my best. If those average of 85 people, that 1 hour of prayer, 52 weeks a year that we meet, that's 4,420 hours of prayer corporately unified together. How many of you know that's a reason to celebrate? I believe that everything that is happening well here is not because of what happens on Sunday morning. I believe it's because of what happens on Monday night. And if you're not here on a Monday night, you're missing a large part of what God is doing here in our church. But can I tell you what I really want to celebrate? It's not just the people, it's the men. On Monday night, over half of the people that are here are men. They're men. And watching you men grow in your prayer life, watching you pray out loud for the first time, watching you reach over, grab your wife by the hand and pray for her, pray for your kids. It is changing families, and I'm so excited about that. Look at this. 503 of you have served in some capacity outside of the walls of this church through community outreach and all the different things that we do. You've brought your time, your talents, and your treasure. 503. That's a lot. That's incredible. And can I talk about what your generosity like that has done? Y'all buckle up. Reach over. Grab the seatbelt. I was blown when I started to think through all of this week. Financially, in 2023, you began the year by helping 13 families with tornado-damaged homes. You paid for and served at a gala for our local unexpected pregnancy center. That was 300 that attended from multiple denominations, Catholic and Protestant, celebrating life in the womb and supporting young unexpected mothers. In addition to that, as if that wasn't enough, you gave the first $10,000 providing services to those mothers in the most time-sensitive season of their life. You did storm cleanup and tree removal all across Generette. You equipped dozens of people in Iberia Parish to begin their foster care journeys, and you continue to support them to this day. You funded and participated in renovations to Iberia Parish's Alternative Center for Education. We call it ACE. And you went in there and changed that place. You brought an Easter explosion to the families at West End Park. You provided cases and cases of bottled water to Iberia Parish Sheriff's Office, conducting well visits to the elderly and disabled this summer. You gave 75 underprivileged families in our community a complete Thanksgiving meal with turkey and the fixings and all the sides. I lost count at the number of kids that you bought Christmas gifts for. We lost count. From newborns through our unexpected pregnancy center, through families and kids, through the Boys and Girls Club that we had, children with incarcerated parents. We ran out of kids twice because of you. We couldn't find any more kids through the Little Lambs program. You guys took them all and made sure they had a Christmas this year. You shopped with students from Johns Hopkins Elementary. And you even provided gifts to a group of older kids at the Garden View Assisted Living facility as well, because we wanted to make sure everybody had an incredible Christmas. You bought gifts for a young 4-year-old girl and her 5-year-old brother who tragically lost their father just weeks before Christmas. I mean, dear heavens, y'all bought a van for the Bayard family this year. I'm amazed at what y'all did in 2023. And if that wasn't enough, you bought a house for Heather and 10-year-old Harlan when they lost everything in a fire just 2 weeks ago. And maybe the coolest one, in 2023, you helped personally start a brand new campus in Abbeville so that those same things that we did in Iberia Parish can begin to happen in Vermilion Parish and areas beyond us. That's a reason to celebrate. And I know some of you have been counting the number of points in my message today, and you said, Pastor Don, there were five when you started. We've only covered four. What about the fifth one? All right, let's talk about it. It says this, but raise it up on the last day. Here's what that tells me. We need to live with the end in mind. You do know there is a last day coming. Jesus will return, and one day you and I will stand before God, and our eternity will be based on one thing. And I love you enough to tell you the absolute truth with all my heart. Look at my face. It's not on the basis of the good things that you did. You can bring every single one of those things that we just talked about that took every single one of us to do and pull off. You can take that with you and take full credit for every single one of those things before the throne of God. And it's not going to be enough. If you did every single one of those things all by yourself, it won't be enough. You're going to stand before God, and it's not going to be on the basis of the church that you attended. I wish that were the case. I wish you could show up there one day when Jesus returns, and you could say, God, I attended OSC. You know that place, right? Like, I attended OSC. I should be able to be. Your church attendance has no bearing on your eternity. It doesn't. It's not even on the basis of how much money you've given. You may be able to afford to write a check to cover every dollar of every outreach that ever takes place in this place. If you can, see me after service. I'm going to show you how you can do that. But it's not even the basis of how much you give that determines your eternity and whether you get to spend that with God. Scripture tells us that day is going to be a final exam. The final exam, last chance. And there's only one question on that final exam. How many of you would like to know what that question is that we're going to be asked that day? It's here it is right here. What did you do with my son, Jesus? What did you do with my son, Jesus? Did you receive him? Did you follow him? Did you make him Lord of your life? Today, I want to help you live with the end in mind, because when you do, you see things differently. Tonight, the calendar turns to 2024. But here's the scary part. You're not even promised the next few hours to even get there. There's not a person in here that is guaranteed to see 1 second of 2024. Our next breath is not even promised. But I want to tell you, you can live today and you can live in this moment right now with the end in mind. And it's not just to celebrate for today. If you make the right decision, you'll be celebrating with the rest of us for all eternity. Jesus was having a conversation about this very thing with a very rich and a very religious man. He was a successful guy. He's the kind of guy that people went to when they wanted to know more about God. And Jesus is having this conversation and telling him what it looks like to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, what it looks like to be a part of what God's going on. And he told him, he said, you can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't even see the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born again. And he struggled with that phrase, born again. He thought maybe it was something he had to do to enter back into his mother's womb, right? Like every one of us is born once and we have to go back in the womb to be born again. And Jesus says, no, it's not like that. There's two births that happen in your life. The first one is a physical birth. It's preceded by water. When the water breaks, the mother knows that it's time for that child to come forth. Jesus said, I'm talking about not a birth from water, but a birth of the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes upon you in a way that you can't deny, God is moving. You see things differently. He said, that second birth is a birth of the Spirit. And here's what he goes on to say with this. The entire gospel, the good news for God's plan for mankind, it actually mirrors our entire conversation that we've been having today. Let me show you five things that are true about the gospel and your interaction with it today. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless God draws you to it. Every person is welcome. Your past doesn't matter. But you have to submit your will to his. Jesus must be Lord. When you do, there's not just a place for you, there's purpose for you as well. God's goal is not just you spend eternity with him, it's that you live like him on this earth, bringing as many people as you can with him when you go. And here's the fifth thing. You can live today knowing you'll live with him forever. I want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. Just listen to my voice for the next few minutes. We've celebrated a lot of things today. We celebrated a lot of numbers. I didn't even tell you that this year 222 people were water baptized in our services. What was that? That was the public declaration of the inward decision that many of you are about to make right now. In 2023, I hope this number blows your mind. I say it with all soberness and appreciation for God doing the work. This year in 2023, 458 people were born again in our church services. How many of you know that's incredible? That's incredible. But with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, because as amazing as that 458 number is, I think there may be somebody in here, and it's still 2023. Will you be 459? Pastor Don, how do I become born again? How do I receive Jesus? How do I follow him? How do I trust him as my Lord and Savior? I would tell you it's as simple as A, B, C. A stands for admit. You have to admit that you're a sinner, that your choices, your sin, your decisions have left you on a path completely different from where God had you go. He didn't leave you, you left him. B stands for believe. You have to believe that God sent his son Jesus to live the life you couldn't live, to die a death you were supposed to die, and pay a price that you were supposed to pay. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Don, I can admit my sin. I believe that God sent Jesus just for me. Then I would say all that's left is C, and C stands for confess. Confess him as Lord and Savior. Savior part's easy when your life's a mess, when things are difficult, when it's falling apart and you don't know where else to turn. But it's that Lord part that makes the difference. And unless the Holy Spirit has moved on your heart and allowed you to see your life in reflection to the kingdom, you can't confess him as Lord. But if you can, I would tell you, you've been born again. That birth of the Spirit has taken place in your life. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, nobody's looking around. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out or call you up front. But I do want to know who I'm praying with today. Pastor Don, I haven't been born again. I haven't received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. God has brought me here. I do see things differently. I know I need him in my life, but I've never asked. Right there where you are, I'm going to ask you to do two things. If you want me to pray with you to be born again today, I want you to lift your hand and look up at me all across this room right now. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand in the back. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. I got you, I see your hand. Up in the balcony, there you are, I see your hand. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I see your hand. I see you. I see you too. I'm glad you made that decision. I see your hand too. Everybody else is praying, God's moving. If you raise your hand, you can place it down. One more time, and then we'll pray together. I don't want to miss an opportunity for you to end 2023 as a child of God. One more time. Pastor Don, I did not raise my hand the first time, but I want to be included as you pray. I want to raise my hand right now. Thank you. I'm glad I asked. I see you. Anybody else before we pray? I see your hand. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. It's not the prayer that has saved you. The Holy Spirit has saved you. But I want all of us to say this prayer together, especially those of you that raise your hand. Say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for me. And I believe you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to follow you with all my heart, no matter what it costs me. And I declare that God is my Father, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Can y'all celebrate with me?